Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Now, how will Satan get to you? He will get you thinking wrongly, and then he will deceive you into believing that disobedience is the way of pleasure.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about making right choices. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 1994. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, making right choices.
Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He was answering a question of the Pharisees, what is the great commandment in all the Bible? They thought it was a trick question. They thought he could not answer that question. Jesus said, that's simple. Love God with your whole heart. Don't be divided in your focus. The biggest thing you will face in your life is battling your duty as opposed to your inward desires. You'll never not be in that battle. But learn how to make choices that are right choices. If you look at the dilemma here, the dilemma is caused because your duty is in one place and your desire is in another place. Sunday morning comes. Is your main desire to jump out of bed and run to Sunday school? No, really, if your old flesh desire were known, what would you rather be doing? You'd rather stay counting ceiling tiles or studying the road maps inside your eyelids. I know that's the way I am. There are some mornings I get up, boy, I want to get to God's house. Other mornings I get up and I think, I can't even see how am I going to drive to church. I can't, my eyes are glued shut. Sometimes you just don't feel like when daylight comes, you don't feel like stirring Sunday morning. You don't feel like reading your Bible because you'd rather just relax or you'd rather just watch a TV program or something that was non-demanding. But whatever, you always have your duty and your desire going two different directions. And you get caught, you get trapped. Now when you look at the ideal way to live is have your duty and your desire in one spot because your delight is in God. That's the ideal way to live. But it's not realistic in a day-to-day walk that you're going to walk constantly spirit-filled every single minute of your life because you are going to face some real battles. How does Satan get to us to get us from duty to divide our heart, to get our desire living differently? James chapter, or 1 John chapter 1 says, walk in the light as he is in the light. You have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. On the one side you have light, the other side you have darkness. The evil desires, the dark desires of the heart, become an entrapment to you. How does Satan get us to live in a dilemma? We established yesterday, he cannot make us sin. How then does he get to us? I'll give you steps to destruction found in the book of James. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. That is preceded by verse 12 that says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Happy is a man who endures temptation. Then he said, don't say when you're tempted of God. I know some people who go into sin, they say, well, God made me this way. Why should I not do it? I mean, God's the one who gave me this desire. He created me this way. Then why should I not say God has tempted me? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away. So tempted there, first of all we see there is wrong desire. That's how Satan works. How do I get input to my mind? Through five senses. What are the main ones? Eye gate, ear gate. These are the main two. How can the eye gate affect us to get wrong input to the mind? Can you look at the wrong thing and have the right thinking? No. In that light, what do you battle that why we never battled in our generation as young people today? At least it was never where I was. What do you have that gets the eye gate that is such an easy thing to get today and very few people will ever know about it? Okay, videos. It used to be that if a person were looking for that which is even seeable on a video today, he would have to go to some sleazy place in some kind of an area that was known for its immorality and its sleaze, etc. And you would get trapped in that kind of a life pattern. Anymore, all you have to do is go to a video store and then get from that video store that which is wicked and wretched. You say, well, when I get older and married, that'll no longer be a problem. I don't believe that. You still don't lose the lust, because that which is unholy and that which is illegal is more enticing to the flesh. What do you battle today in the sight? For example, you're driving on the interstate highway and you're bombarded. Your senses are bombarded by what kind of things? You see just enough. And you see just enough where your mind has to finish what was started. Guard the input to the mind. Guard the eye gate. Don't let yourself see that which is unholy. And don't let yourself read that which is unholy. What's the other major input to the mind? The eye gate, but also the ear gate. So what's the biggest area that's impacting the ear gate today for young people? What? The music area. So you look at the music area and it becomes a real problem and a real pressure. I'm not going to preach on music. I'm totally convinced of this. When the person is right with God, his music is right. Well, there may be some variations on taste or something like that, but you know, if you're God's child and the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling within you, you know full well whether that music is honoring to God or not. And if I were expert in the field of music, I think I would feel adequate to make presentations and so on like that. I'm not. But I am convinced of this one thing. When your heart's right, your music is right. It's that simple. But you go ahead and start touching someone's music and you have a tiger by the tail. Because the ear gate has begun to like that. There is a feeling that comes just from the beat and so on, but there is that implantation in the mind of wrong words, of wrong desires. So you have your main inputs to the gate of the mind. You have eyes, you have ears, you have the senses of touch, smell, taste. These are the other senses that come. But when you're dealing with that which would destroy your character, it's basically that which you see and that which you hear. You're living today in a situation that is really, really tough. Guard your desires. And you get your desires by what you get in your senses. And James says, every man is tempted when he is drawn of his own lust. That is within us. That is your own desire. When it comes right down to it, you sin because you want to sin. You have what you want to have. And if you are here and you are allowing yourself to hear wrong things, you are allowing yourself to see wrong things, you're opening yourself up to this last step down here, which is death. Or let me just put the word destruction. But you don't go from wrong desire to destruction in one giant leap. How do you get from desire to destruction? Satan doesn't come to you and say, come here, I want to really destroy you. All you have to do is have wrong desire. No. You have to decide what you're going to do with wrong desire. Is there anyone in this room who has never been plagued by wrong desire? Do you think there's anyone in the room here who has never been plagued by wrong desire? No, we all have. What determines whether you go on to the next step to destruction or not? What you do with wrong desire. What are the two choices? Say yes to sin or say no to sin. There are two ways to live. Way number two. Way number one is have pleasure first for long-term pain. Way number two is have pain now for long-term pleasure. Can anybody think of contrast of Bible characters? Esau. What did it say in the book of Hebrews? What did he want? He wanted that which was pleasurable. It says, lest of being a fornicator or profane person is Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how afterward, when he would have inherited a blessing, when he would have had the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. What did Esau want? He said, I want my flesh satisfied right now. I don't want to wait. On the other side, you have a man like Daniel. You have a man like a Joseph. But you take Samson, he had his pleasure, long-term pain. But Joseph took the pain now for long-term pleasure. It's a pain to say no to the flesh. It really is. You want to do something and it is a pain. It's hard to say no to the flesh. And I think some of you have varying degrees of battles in that area. Some of you, it's not as much of a problem as it is to others, but everyone will have a real problem saying no to the flesh, and it's a pain. But when you say no to the flesh, you have the long-term pleasure that comes. When does that pleasure come? Within a year sometimes? No. Within 5 years sometimes? Not necessarily. But it sure comes in the long haul. The happiness of having made the right choice. What does it say of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11? And it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction, or it says of Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Note that it says pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is pleasurable. Sin is fun. Moses said, I would choose rather to suffer pain with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Because what is characteristic of sin's pleasure? It's seasonal. And the season is very, very short. It's not long term. But the long term reaping from right choosing is long term pleasure. It's not seasonal. It's long term. So you have to decide, what do you want? Pleasure now, pain later, or pain now and pleasure later? Go back here. How do you get to destruction from wrong desire? Note back again in James chapter 1. It says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Next word here is deceit. Drawn away. Drawn away and enticed. These are two sport terms. This one has to do with hunting. This one has to do with fishing. But both of them have to do with baiting an animal out of its place of protection. When you go fishing, how do you catch a fish? You bait him with that which looks like a juicy morsel. That's what that word entice means. It means a baited hook. And this drawn away here is actually a term of baiting an animal to a place of destruction. Like when you deer hunt, you throw corn down and so on. And that animal comes to that place thinking he's getting a delicious meal and really feels as a deep burning pain in his side. Like that old song used to say, deceit, drawn aside. Now, how will Satan get to you? He will get you thinking wrongly, and then he will deceive you into believing that disobedience is the way of pleasure. And that temptation will look so good. That temptation will look so enticing. Name some things that can be a real enticement to you. You have a desire, and then you can become deceived into believing that there will be no consequence from this choosing. Name some things real quickly here. You have television. The music, I think we can name again. And here we could put peers, friends, but also you could put dating. Some smooth talker will come along. Some handsome, gutless wonder will come along. Wrong desire will be implanted and you will be deceived and you establish a subtle hiding relationship. You have to be careful because you have to decide, what do I want in 10 years? What do I want 20 years from now? What do I want 5 years from now? What do I want 2 years from now? That's deceit. Your desire is wrong, and then your desire is followed by deceit. You have to remember that you're just not going to say, I want to die. I want to die early. If I'm in a wrong desire. No, when you follow up desire with deceit, when you are actually doing that which is wrong, what have you already weighed in your mind? There are no consequences for what I'm going to do. What is that called? That's called being deceived. What does it say in Galatians chapter 5? Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So don't be deceived. Don't be tricked by the wiles of the devil, the trickery. Or the old Tennessee preacher talked about the willies of the devil. What do you call it? Wiles or willies? A trickery. Scheming, planning. You're trapped by the wiles of the devil. Disobedience then follows. I desire, I'm deceived, I disobey, I die. Remember this, you never disobey till you've been deceived. You don't disobey just because you have wrong desire. Otherwise, every one of us would disobey all day long, every day. Why do you disobey? Because you have entertained desire and you've weighed it out and come to realize that you want to have what you have seen or you want what you have heard and you're deceived into believing, then you disobey. So a disobedient person is a deceived person. Because a deceived person is one who has wrong desire and then gets tricked by the bait of the devil to have that which is wrong. Now, some people think it's not wrong if people don't know about it. You know what you missed there? You missed the fear of God. One characteristic you need in your life for preserving your life is to fear God. Because you realize the fear of God is the conscious awareness of the presence of God. You're always aware that God is present, no matter who else is seeing. But who else is keeping the record? God is keeping the record. You say, well, I have this sin, but it's a hidden sin. I have a habit, but it's a hidden habit. You're going to reap that which you sow. Believe you me, it's a painful reaping. There's a lifelong reaping process with the scars. God will forgive and God can restore, but you're going to live with the scars for the rest of your life. Here we see every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And when lust has finished, it brings forth sin. You see, this is sin. Desire, lust, drawn away and enticed, and deceit, disobedience is sin. Lust brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, in verse 15 says what? It brings forth what? Death. Satan's LSD trip. Lust, sin, death. You say, well, I'm not that well liked. I'm not that well accepted. I'm not that attractive. So you try to buy acceptance and you try to buy a friendship by compromise. And you'll be used all your life because you won't let God have His way in your life. God didn't make any mistakes about how you were made. He made no mistakes about how He created you. Let's name some Bible characters who had wrong desire, they were deceived, they disobeyed, they died. Who are the earliest you can think of? Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3. How did the serpent get to Eve? She heard him and she saw. The devil said, "Hath God said, yea, gate?" And when she saw that the tree was good for food, she disobeyed. Adam and Eve, perfect environment, perfect state. Why did they disobey? They were deceived. How was she deceived? In believing that the devil said, if you'll disobey, you will be equal with God. You'll have no authority over you anymore. That's a lie. What did God say? The minute you eat thereof, you shall what? Die. So, well, did they drop over dead? No. But what is death? Death is separation. They instantly were separated from God. When a person dies, is he gone forever? Or is he just separated? He's separated. Death is not cessation of being. Death is separation. When a person passes away, he is separated from mankind for a period of time, but He is not non-existent. He is still in existence. And then there's going to be that rejoining later. For those in hell, their existence will go on forever. But they're separated from God. That's eternal death. Separated from God forever. When a Christian dies, there is separation temporarily, but there's life because there is a union back in eternity. Who else had wrong desire, deceived, disobeyed, died? Think of another one. Samson. He went to Timnath and saw. What did he see in Timnath? A beauty queen. He said, get her for me. She pleases me well. He comes home, says, I saw this woman in Timnath. Get her for me. She is very attractive. Oh, how subtle it is for you to have someone to pay attention to you, or you see some beauty queen or some handsome brute and he pays a little bit of attention to you and you completely go bonkers. Wrong desire. Samson desired. He was deceived. He disobeyed. He died. Think of another one. David and Bathsheba. Wrong desire. He was deceived. He disobeyed. Destruction. Grieving, death. Think of another one. Achan. He saw the goodly Babylonian garment. He saw the wedge of gold. Wrong desire. He said, I hid, I disobeyed, now I die. Just imagine the boulders as they were bashing off the bodies of his children and bashing off the body of his wife. And then finally Achan himself had to lay down. How did he get to that point? Because that was his desire. Did Achan say, "Boy, one thing I'd like to do now that Jericho is going well, and Jericho has been conquered. One thing I'd really like to do is have people bounce rocks off my head. Well, if I had a way to die, that's the way I think I would die. I'd just like to have people bashing big boulders off my head. It seemed like that would be just sort of a little different way to go than others have gone. Not on your life." Achan thought that he could disobey. He thought he could have that wedge of gold. He thought he could have that goodly Babylonian garment. He thought he could have it and blessing. Impossible. So Achan was bashed to death. How does Satan get to you today? Wrong desire. He deceives you. You disobey. You die. Things have never changed. The question is, what do you want? Recognize that sin. Repent of that sin. Replace it by the Word and rejoice in obedience. Say, "This is sin in my life. I repent of that sin. I replace it by the Word. I now get it out of my life and I go on rejoicing without the grieving, without the pressure of the reaping of disobedience." Let me ask you this. Are you in a dilemma or is your Christian life a delight? It all depends whether you're wholeheartedly surrendered or half-heartedly surrendered. If you have a divided heart, you are a prime candidate for destruction. Because Satan cannot approach a wholehearted Christian. There's no room for him.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on making right choices. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.